You might recall what happened after in the before the first reading today. There is a context for it. The first reading kind of covers it, but just in case, you might recall that there was a golden calf that the Israelites made out in the desert. And this was when Moses had spent 40 days up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai. And so that encounter with Moses on Mount Sinai was meant to create a covenant with his people, with God's people. And that covenant was a binding agreement that forged a relationship, not necessarily a contract. And so God, in this situation, wants to test Moses, creating the opportunity for Moses to intercede on behalf of his people. In other words, he wants him to be a foreshadowing of Christ. Just as Christ reaffirmed God's love of the people by his willing sacrifice, choosing mercy over justice, so Moses here appeals to God to remember the agreement forged with Abraham that God would be his people. And so God allows Moses to take an active role in the administration of his forgiveness and his plan for mercy. And so he does this for us too as well. And he wants us to do the same in our relationships with others. Forgive us our sins as we must forgive those who sin against us. God's justice and mercy are way beyond our human standards. In the second reading, we are reminded that St. Paul himself, like Israel, was a great offender against God who needed and received mercy. And Paul calls himself the foremost of sinners. The company of saints is better thought of as the assembly of those who embrace mercy rather than those who think they never need it. For the self-righteous, what need have they of mercy? And so you and I, our call is to recognize our humility, to see ourselves for what we really are. We are creatures in need of God's mercy, and that should bring us joy, not despair. And then turning to the gospel, these famous three stories, three parables of Luke that build one upon the other. And they're told in the context of tax collectors and sinners gathering with Jesus and also the religious leaders. The religious leaders complaining that Jesus is welcoming all of these outcasts, these sinners. Each story gives an outlandish example of how our human categories and reasoning, sometimes they don't line up with God's way of treating justice and mercy. God is crazy in love with us. And each one of these stories defies every human logic. What man would go out after the 99 sheep? That doesn't make any sense. Because if he goes out after the lost one, then the 99 are compromised and they could go lost. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever according to human standards. But one of the brilliant things about these parables, and especially these parables, is that you and I can place ourselves right in the midst of these stories in every season of our life. We can identify with each of the characters in the story. For instance, I can see myself as the sheep that got lost one day, or I can see myself as part of the larger group of 99. And sometimes, as a parent, I feel like I need to go after the one that goes astray. And there are days when I have lost something and I go to great lengths to find it. And for most people, whatever I'm trying to find doesn't seem very important. Just imagine the lady who lost the coin, it's like one penny, equating to one penny. Now, for most of us, it would seem useless to go after something like that. Forget it. But that's not how God treats us. What seems totally useless and invaluable, God goes after. God doesn't put a value on our life. And so when we have lost something, and sometimes when I lose something, I go to great lengths to find it. And then when I do find it, like maybe my keys or something, I want to celebrate. I want to tell people, hey, I found my keys. It's awesome. And then, yes, I can identify with the lost son who's made bad choices only to find out later I was a fool. So I went back, hanging my head, hoping for the best. And then also, I've been the son who thought he was doing all the right things, entitled to certain privileges, tit for tat. Hey, I'm hanging around here. I do everything I'm supposed to. I go to church. I'm good to everybody else. I follow the commandments. I read the catechism. I do all that stuff. So why wouldn't I earn God's salvation? That's not how God works. God is crazy in love with the sinner and the so-called saint. And yes, there have been persons in my life who have broken my trust. And then I run off. They think nothing of it. And when they come back asking for forgiveness, I know that sometimes I don't necessarily run out after them, but when reconciliation does happen, it feels like a great weight is thrown off, and I just want to throw a party. So finally, maybe something we need to ask ourselves is, do we resist God's mercy, or do we open our hearts and souls to allow God to transform us into our true selves? My hope is that every day I may slowly imitate this great God of mercy in my everyday relationships. This is what will transform the world. Not our usual go-to style of seeking how things can be made right according to our vision, fooling ourselves thinking this is true justice. True justice is grounded in mercy. Both are needed. And it is a journey to learn and practice the very lessons each one of these parables speaks to us each and every day.